If your lawn is looking, patchy and just tired, your first instinct is probably to throw down fresh seed and just blast it with a heavy nitrogen fertilizer.
Right. I mean, that's what most people do.
Yeah, but according to the science of lawn overseeding, doing both at the exact same time is, well, it's the fastest way to accidentally suffocate your yard.
Absolutely.
Welcome to today's deep dive, everyone. As experts at Heron Home and Outdoor, our mission today is to pull from the guide Timing and Techniques for Successful Lawn Overseeding and basically save you from sabotaging your own investment.
It really is one of the most stubborn misconceptions out there. I mean, we naturally assume pairing seed and standard fertilizer gives the lawn this immediate compounded advantage.
Okay, let's unpack this
Yeah.
because applying standard fertilizer while overseeding seems, logical on paper, but mechanically, it's a total disaster.
Yeah,
It's kind of like hiring a massive roofing crew to build the top floor of a house while you're like still trying to pour the foundation.
Oh, that's a really great way to put it. And what's fascinating here is the underlying biology. When you drop standard fertilizer, you aren't actually feeding those fragile new seeds at all.
Well, you're not.
No, not really. You are just pumping nitrogen into your existing grass, which forces it to grow at this incredibly accelerated rate.
Oh, I see, which creates this a massive dense canopy right above the new seeds.
Precisely. Yeah, that rapid top growth acts like a giant umbrella. It completely blocks out the sunlight, shading, and literally smothering the new sprouts before they can even establish their own root
Oh,
systems.
wow, so they don't even have a chance.
Exactly. So you really have to wait 6 to 8 weeks post-seeding before applying a standard nitrogen-heavy fertilizer.
Okay, but what if you're working with nutrient-depleted soil that desperately needs intervention right now? I mean, you can't just let the new seed sit in completely sterile dirt, right?
Right. That raises a really important question. And it comes down to altering your NPK ratios. Yeah, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. If you absolutely have to feed the soil at the time of seeding, you switch to a starter fertilizer.
Okay.
These formulations drastically lower the nitrogen and they spike the phosphorus.
Wait. If high phosphorus starter fertilizer is so incredible for root development, why don't we just use it all year round? Like, why switch back to the standard stuff at all?
Well, because once a mature root system is established, pushing excessive phosphorus just isn't necessary. And, it won't give you that dense green top growth you really need for a durable lawn later on.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah, so starter fertilizer is specifically a short-term tool. It prioritizes below-ground establishment over, above-ground aesthetics.
Right, but let's look at the mechanical prep for a second. If the starter fertilizer is doing all this heavy lifting below ground, why does the guide emphasize aggressive aeration and mowing so low beforehand?
Yeah.
Like, can't the chemical nutrients just do the work?
Oh, definitely not. Chemicals just can't overcome a lack of physical seed-to-soil contact. I mean, if you don't aerate and cut the existing turf down to the absolute minimum, your expensive seed just gets suspended in the thatch layer.
Oh, so it never even touches the grain.
Exactly. It germinates up in the grass blades, dries out, and then just dies before the taproot ever reaches that phosphorus-rich soil.
Man, what a waste. Okay, so here's where it gets really interesting. We are talking heavily about cool season practices here, right? Relying on seed and adjusting soil composition.
Right.
But what happens when you shift to an entirely different biological profile? Like down in Florida, where the soil is practically just pure sand.
Yeah, if we connect this to the bigger picture, geography just completely rewrites the rules. In Florida, the overseeding strategies we just discussed are almost exclusively used for temporary winter coverage.
Wait, really? Just temporary?
Yeah, specifically putting down ryegrass when the primary lawn goes dormant.
Because permanent southern lawns aren't established this way at all, right?
Right, exactly. Permanent Florida turf, like St. Augustine grass, isn't commercially grown from seed. It relies on stolons.
Stolons, like the runners.
Yeah, those thick above-ground runners that physically creep across the soil to root and spread. Because of how inefficient and erratic seed germination is for those specific stolon-heavy grasses, St. Augustine is propagated vegetatively, so
Move.
it's installed via sod or plugs instead.
Which means if you're down south trying to overseed St. Augustine to permanently fix bare patches, you are literally just throwing your budget away on a biological impossibility.
Exactly. It reinforces the core takeaway here. Successful lawn care requires aligning your strategy with the biological reality of your specific turf, not just applying more product and hoping for the best.
So, what does this all mean for you, the listener? It basically means patience and preparation trump brute force. give the seed actual dirt to touch, and give it the breathing room to establish without being suffocated by chemically fueled existing grass.
Right, it's all about timing.
Exactly. And it leaves us with this final thought for you to ponder. If conventional wisdom tells us to feed and seed simultaneously, but plant biology demands the exact opposite, what other everyday landscaping habits are we forcing against nature's own timeline?
Yeah, that is a crucial question to ponder before you go and rip open your next bag of yard supplies.
For professional help, call Herrenholm and Outdoor at 1-800-814-3766.